You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Imagine going through life related to the greatest baseball player of all time. Our guest is the youngest granddaughter of Babe Ruth. Recently, she gave her time and support to the Pray For Foundation, an organization in Georgia founded by Gino Vizzi, an 18-year-old diagnosed with a rare strain of leukemia. She traveled to the Gwinnett Braves, Atlanta's AAA, to show her support and even throw out a first pitch. We're honored to welcome to the show Linda Ruth Tassetti. Linda, it's great to have you. How was that first pitch? How'd that go?
Oh, I got to tell you. Well, I can't stand like with my heels to the mound anymore, but I got to tell you, I surprised myself. It was a perfect strike, and I'm not making it up. It really was a strike, and it went thwack right in the, you know, made that thwapping noise, and it had some power behind it. So I was pretty happy with it.
That's good. It's all in the DNA, isn't it? It runs in the family, I think.
Well, I don't know. I know I have his reflexes. I think it's because of my great nephew. He's the one that taught me how to pitch. He said, nothing fancy. Just put your shoulder in it so we can get you to the plate. And he did. He was only 14 at the time.
That's great. How did you meet Gino Vizzi? How did this come about? This is wonderful of you.
Well, we do another terrific home run derby in Miami between Christmas and New Year's. And it's called the Power Showcase. And it showcases all these great, you know, they actually go from 10 now right up to seniors. And scouts come and look at him, and it kind of shows up, and it's a home run hitting. So Vizzi, and Gino Vizzi was there. I was gonna say the Vizzis. Gino was participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk with the families when I'm there. I meet all these neat people. And one night we came through the courtyard, and there was the family, and we ended up sitting there talking to them for 4 hours. What a terrific family, and Gino. My gosh, if he isn't a role model, I don't know what is.
He's
amazing.
He's an inspirational kid.
Oh, he takes chemo every morning.
Wow.
Every day. It's incurable. There's only two people in the world that have it, him and another fellow, 25-year-old in Australia. It's a leukemia that only over 60 men usually get.
Wow.
And, you know, to look at him, he eats right. They're very nutritious wise and pure water wise, and they eat the best they can, and the only time you can see he's having a bad day is he looks really tired in his eyes. His eyes kind of cloud over, but I got to tell you, he's moving, he's doing, he even works through it. And the family, the foundation, the P4 Pray For Foundation, it is a hands-on, which I like. I mean, they if your kid is sick and you've got to miss work and you really are hurting that money, they'll help. If you need a ride, they help. You need a person, they help. Whatever you need, you need a chair, they help. It's hands-on, which I love.
That's,
you know, they're not just, we're a foundation, we help, they actually do.
And one of Gino's goals, Linda, is to play baseball.
Yeah, and he's pretty good at it, and he's strong. God, you know, when they gave him a last wish, okay, everybody, you know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation,
mm-hmm.
he asked to go meet the Pope in Italy at the Vatican.
Wow.
And there he asked the Pope to give him strength to help people that were like him and to please pray for all the sick children. And that's pretty,
what a selfless thing to do, right?
Exactly. And that's all he does is, and you know what? His friends, his school friends, they're on board. I mean, the whole family down to the youngest cousin, all helping and working towards a goal. You know, they really want to help people. And I've not run into a foundation quite like this.
And how did the Gwinnett Braves get involved?
Well, David Vizzi, who is the father and the head of the foundation, he knows North Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
so we did
manager.
A home run derby mm-hmm. for him, for David. We were in Georgia. And so they said, would you like to throw out a first pitch? And I thought, oh, that was unexpected. That was kind of cool. And of course, I was really proud of it. And I got to meet Chopper, which is the groundhog, I think.
Yeah.
The mascot. It was a fun day. Everybody had a good time, and I signed pictures, and we all talked about Babe and the foundation. It was just a lot of fun.
That's wonderful.
I never laughed so much in my life.
That's terrific. So this all came out of meeting Gino Vizzi at your home run derby.
That's it, in Miami, yep.
Wow.
Just sitting in the courtyard. Yeah.
This is something in your DNA, to give back on behalf of the Ruth and the Ruth name. You've been doing this all your life.
Oh, yeah. In eighth grade, like I said, when I found out who I was, and I said to my mother, we're famous. She goes, no, you're not. You got to figure out how to give back in his name. And my mother always did. When I never expect anything in his name. I always say, okay, how can I help? You know, if it's a, I want to make sure it's a really good cause and I check it out and I, you know, I'm cautious. I just don't jump on any bandwagon.
Of course.
But, yeah, this is how Babe would have, I learned from people that knew Babe. You know, I'm finding out more and more about him, Ed. I swear, even what his nose was called. I mean, it's amazing. But, people, if you did him a favor, he did you too.
Mm.
He never said no to anybody that needed anything. He didn't even explore it. He just said, yes, I'll do it. He was so good, whether it be lending money to start a business, somebody couldn't make their rent, or a cause like the American Legion or the Knights of Columbus and stuff like that. He just never said no. So I thought, well, it's the least I can do is to try and carry on. And that's the message my mother taught me. And you know what? It's easy because it makes people happy. My God, I don't know why more people don't do it. You just see smiling faces. It's contagious. It's just contagious.
Linda Ruth Tassetti is with us. She has lent her support to an organization called Pray For Foundation, an organization in Georgia founded by Gino Vizzi, an 18-year-old diagnosed with a rare strain and at this moment a disease that does not have a cure. Of this particular strain of leukemia, which usually invades men much later in life. Your grandfather had an innate sense, Linda, of his responsibility to the fans, and obviously that has been passed on through generations of the Ruth family.
Well, you know what? It truly is. You know, I always wondered why... some parts of the family, the adopted side, didn't do this. And then I thought, you know what? I don't think they even have a first inkling of how to. That's why I really, truly think it's in the DNA. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Babe came out of St. Mary's. And when he said goodbye, there were three you know, there was the minims, the middle guys, and the seniors. And what happened was Babe had to say goodbye at each dinner for the kids. And then he said, I'm going out there to do good for you.
Mm.
You know, and I promise I will do good for you and that I will never forget you. And he never did. He took care of St. Mary's when it was Cardinal Gibbons. You know,
uh-huh.
He just always took care of the school. He never, till his dying day, he took care of the school.
Right.
So, and that's what's been handed down. And my mom, I watched her do it like her dad did it. So, yeah, I love it. I don't know how to tell you that it's just contagious. Babe is renewed in me every time. People said, you know, I'm 62 now. And you figure, you know, after a while, it would get old. It never gets old. Babe never gets old. It's the amazing things I'm still learning about him.
That's what I wanted to follow up on, the fact that so many years later, you still are finding out things about him for one of the most chronicled human beings on the planet Earth. It's no exaggeration.
It is. I was just about a month and a half ago, I was in by where his farm was in Sudbury, and there's a place called Longfellow's Wayside Inn. And it's one of the longest working inns in the country. It's like 400-year-old working inn still. So I was there just signing pictures. The bartender was there. And I had this bust shot of Babe, a Boston picture. He would have been probably about 19 years old, maybe 20. And there was a German lady that worked there, and I took out this picture, and she said, there's a proper German face. And I went, really? Nobody's ever told me that he really has a... I knew he was both sides German, but I never heard anybody tell me that, yeah, that's a German face. And so I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, and that's quite a Nosenbrogen he's got. I mean, Regenbrogen he's got. And I went, Regenbrogen? She said, yeah, rainbow nose. Now, my grandfather used to laugh and said he could fit enough nickels on there to retire. But it is a German, typical German nose.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they call it a rainbow, because it's wide. And also there's a time that his chin didn't see the rain. And that's why they call it a rainbow nose.
Uh-huh.
And I said, really? I said, well, you know, can you tell me something about German skin? You know, I just thought they were very pale and, you know, Aryan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, that's, I have skin like him. You know, I turn almost black in the summer. And this was in May, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, wow, it's already dark. So I had this little hint of his skin and a name for his nose. So those are the kind of things I'm learning. I mean, it's really uncanny. It really is, you know.
And he said, and he squeezed so much life, Linda, into his 53 years.
Oh, yes, he did. In fact, when I meet him someday, I want to see this man. Mom said life didn't know him a minute. My mother was Dorothy, his daughter.
Right.
And she said life didn't know him a minute. He did anything he ever wanted and then some. And I would like, that's why I said with these books, now, people love him anyway, no matter what they write about him. But half the things he wouldn't have had time to do. You know, Mom said, I wonder how he had time to pick up a bat. You know, he did all this other stuff. How did he play baseball? You know, so he's largely exaggerated. But he did like to drink, but where he should. He didn't drink like he never came to the stadium drunk ever in his life. Mm. You know, Ed, do you do your podcast after you drink?
No. Well, no, I don't.
Because
I don't drink. But go ahead.
It's your job,
right? Exactly.
Well, baseball was my grandfather's job, so he didn't drink and go to the office.
Right.
So
right.
People, you kind of got to take it in context.
But he also, in the larger context, it's not an exaggeration to say that he single-handedly saved the sport. The 1919 Black Sox scandal, well documented, that the Chicago White Sox threw the World Series to the Cincinnati Reds, the sport was going sideways. And then right after New Year's in 1920, in that offseason, he gets sold to the New York Yankees and basically invents the home run and transforms the game. It's not an exaggeration to say he saved the sport.
Nope. I talked to Bob Feller about it, who knew a great deal about it, because I said, you know, is that exaggeration? He goes, absolutely not. And
forgive me for interrupting.
That's right.
You know that famous photo, of course you know, of Babe Ruth leaning on the bat on Babe Ruth Day in Yankee Stadium. He would be dead just months later. Mm-hmm. That bat was Bob Feller's bat.
He found it. Yeah. He actually found it. It's in his museum.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they can take a picture of the grain and match it. It's amazing. Because I said, how the heck do you find a bat like that?
But Bob Feller loved him, and everybody loved him, and they recognized the fact that this guy saved the game.
And he did with his home run, because you're right. I call him the blueprint writer of the home run.
Well said.
And I had guys tell me, it's funny, these analysts, armchair analysts, your grandfather did it all wrong. So I said, really? Well, wait a minute. If he wrote the blueprint and you're not following it, don't you think you're doing it wrong?
Right.
You know? So, no, but it's, yes. And you know what? That's another reason why he had such trouble with Landis. Landis wanted to be the commissioner that saved baseball. And what happened was it ended up Babe being bringing people back, because we were much more moral, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, we were... you know, if gambling was really a bad thing and it got into baseball, and that's why the first rule in the locker room is you're not allowed to bet on baseball. Bet on baseball.
And how many guys through the years, through the generations, have the opposition rooted for? Everybody loved Mickey Mantle, regardless of what uniform they wore. And my goodness, the opposition rooted for Babe Ruth.
He would come out of the opposition's dugout to take his turn at bat. How about that?
Wow.
He would visit the Detroit dugout and come out and when it was time for him to bat. Yeah, he kind of got away with a lot of stuff, you know. And another thing that I learned is people getting on the field was easy. They would just jump over the little rail and go. So if Babe hit a home run, sometimes it would clear out the audience, and they would jump on the field, and then they'd have to clear everybody off and start to play baseball. Or if there was an inning, they would run to Babe in the outfield to get an autograph and run back. Yeah, it must have been pandemonium watching a game with Babe Ruth. It had to be.
And I'm sure, and you've traveled near and far in these years, and in the Far East, in Japan, your grandfather was regarded as a god.
Yeah, he was. In Japan in 1934, because they still believed that their emperor was a god. This is before, you know, everything happened. And you had to see, they wanted him to stay in Japan. See, there was baseball. What they brought to Japan was the league. They had like all, I guess, AAA teams. So now here comes Babe. They had to develop the Yomiuri Giants. They took the best from all these little teams and made the Yomiuri Giants, which are still there today.
Right, they're like the Yankees. They're like the Yankees of the Japanese league.
Right, so Babe brought big league to Japan, I guess is the way you could put it, because they already had baseball. Because when they went out in 1931, when Lou Gehrig, Babe didn't go because that was one of his biggest barnstorming years. And so they went and they found these like 355-foot stadiums that they didn't expect to find. And nobody hit a home run out, not even Lou Gehrig. Nobody was hitting in these big stadiums. So the Japan said, you know, thank you for coming, but if you don't have Ruth, don't come back. You know, they wanted Babe Russo what they wanted.
Sure.
So Babe ended up being able to make it in 34, and they had a spy. You heard about the spy, right?
Yes.
You know that thing, you speak five languages, huh, Mo? And Babe goes, yep, and he strikes out in every one.
Yeah, right. Talking about Mo Berg. Right, exactly. Who had a career in Major League Baseball and then a second career in service to the country. How good you must, I can't imagine what it must be like about how good you must feel to continue his legacy with the great work that you do this particular time with Gino Vizzi and with the Pray For Foundation and every day of your life.
It really is, because I don't want to say deal with, because that sounds bad, but I am working with my grandfather's name every day, whether it be a fan mail or talking to wonderful guys like you and having a nice, fun talk about Babe, because I can go for hours because I love him so much. I mean, he just doesn't stop. Someone says, I just did a new site. Let me get this in before I forget.
Sure.
It's pretty close to the name of the old one. It's on Google search engine is the best way to find it. It's called TrueBabeRuth.com. I took away the, and it's www.TrueBabeRuth.com. And they said, oh, you wrote a definitive, site. I said, no, I do not use definitive and Babe in the same sentence. You can't. It's like finding out the dinosaurs have feathers. You just can't, because the more that's known about him, the more you see he did. So he changes too much to have a definitive anything about him, because I don't think the discovery is ever going to stop. And if people want to check him out in another 50 years, they'll probably find out something new about him, because that's what happens with Babe, you know? And I have a bunch of historians that work with me, and because I'm not as talented as they are when they're finding articles and everything. And Bruce Orser is one of them, which I can't thank him enough. I've got such an archive of articles thanks to him. And we just laugh because we go, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Look what he did, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's just plain fun.
The world said goodbye to Muhammad Ali, the arguably the most famous athlete in the present day world. Your grandfather was in a time in which, of course, we didn't have the communications that we do now, but he was bigger than Muhammad Ali.
Well, you know, Muhammad Ali admired my grandfather a great deal. He even said, you know, Babe and I, we were about the same things, kids, helping people, you know, which Muhammad Ali did a great deal of helping people, especially after he retired.
Yes.
You know, he had his shtick and what he was known for, but not many people know about his big heart and what he did afterwards. And he was, again, one of those characters like my grandfather that come along once in a while that really shakes up the sport and says, hey, and it sends it on an orbit, you know, like Babe did with baseball, he did with boxing.
Right. Well, they transcended their sports.
Yes, they did. They just shook it up and sent it into outer space. And it's kind of cool to watch, you know, and I watched him very closely. So did my mom. And I was greatly saddened. He put up, you know, people go, you know, he died suddenly. He put up a 30-year fight.
Yeah.
You know, and that's no picnic. And to lose what you're best known for, your speech, oh, my gosh, that had to be torturous for him.
Linda, you know? Linda, what a joy it is to know you and to talk to you and for you to take time out of your hectic schedule to be with me. I thank you so much, and congratulations on the great work you've done here with the Pray For Foundation.
Well, if people would like to see about the Pray For, it's really just, that's it, prayfor.org, mm-hmm. www.prayfor.org. And like I said, if anybody, they don't care if it's $2, $10, or even of time, if there's something they can do for the foundation with time, you know, they just, check it out anyway.
That's great.
You know, because it's amazing, a story to read.
And also check out truebaberuth.com. So that'll do it for Linda Ruth Tassetti and myself on MLB.com. If you were on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.